Welcome to Worldwide Wonderful Women, a podcast for your living in divine power when yours is diminished. A podcast where encouragers receive encouragement. We understand these are hard times. You may find that it is becoming more of a challenge for you to remain strong as you give of yourself continuously. That's why this is the place to join other women globally who face the same challenges as you. So join us regularly to receive biblical insight, not to faint, but to stand strong. This is the podcast to be rejuvenated and revitalized. Now, let's join our host, Paula Harris.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 7 of Worldwide Wonderful Women. My name is Paula Harris, and our episode today is entitled God's Sufficient Seed. We all witnessed the crash of Wall Street in the month of August, and many panicked as the value of their investments dropped and the market went into a tailspin. Now, no doubt, some Christians may have jumped on board with fretting or being anxious over their finances as well. Why do we sometimes lose sight of what Jesus says when things happen in the world, especially regarding our finances? I want to share some passages of Scripture with you to encourage you and to build you up so that you are not anxious in this area. So let's just look real quick. First of all, looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, Paul the Apostle is saying this to the Philippians because they took out of what they had and they gave to Paul to help generously meet his needs. And as a result of them taking out of what they had and meeting Paul's needs, God blessed them out of his riches. And so I know that some of the things I'm going to share with you right now may not come in alignment with what you feel you're experiencing right now in your life, but I hope that you won't put your experience above the truth of what God says in his word. But instead, that you will see the truth of what God is saying and adjust whatever you need to adjust in your life to obey and listen to God so that you will reap and see the benefits of what he is saying to us. So first of all, it's saying, "But my God." First of all, to be able to know what it is to walk in the freedom of just trusting God and being able to know that he will supply of our needs is to have him as our God. We must have at one time or another, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and all of the work that he did for us on the cross so that we can be reconciled to God and know him as our Father. Then it goes on and it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs," not can supply, he shall supply. That's like a promise. He shall supply, not can supply, but he shall supply. And then it says, "all your need." What's left out of that? God is saying all your needs, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, social, economic, he is saying all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That means out of his abundant wealth, God is more than able to take care of us and to supply everything that we need. And he even gives us our desires. His supply doesn't run out. His supply does not run dry. Now, I know you may be saying, "But Paula, I'm experiencing this," or but Paula, this is going on in my life." Please, let me just share the truth of the word of God with you a little bit more, okay? I would like for you, when you get a chance to read this more in depth, I just want to point out a few things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 10, it says, "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Here's another truth that has to be believed to actually experience the truth of this in your life. You have to know that God himself is the one that gives us the seed or gives us our finances or whatever it is that we need, our supplies, our provision. He is the one that provides that for us. And he gives it to us so that, first of all, we can have bread for ourselves, our own needs met, and then that we could take out of what he's given us so that we can meet the needs of others. And that's that fruit of righteousness that comes when we do that. Now, in verse 6, backing up in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, in verse 6, he tells us a little bit more about what he supplies. He says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Basically, you understand this. If a farmer plants only a few seeds, he's only going to get a small crop. If he sows or puts in the ground an abundance of seed, then he's going to get a larger or a bigger crop. Now, God's economy is so much different from the world. Whatever it is that God has supplied and given you, if you will trust him and, yes, have your needs met, but also take out of what you have and meet the needs of others, or you give, and the more you give, you're going to realize the more your needs are met and you're not lacking. And the one thing about God's economy and the way that he gives, he always gives more than what we sow or what's more than what seed we give away. Now, just like a kernel, you can see this with a kernel of corn. If you take one little kernel of corn and you put it in the ground, what comes up? Stalks of corn, a multitude of ears of corn that have an abundance of kernels within them. That's what God does. God is saying here, just know this. If you only have a little bit and you just hold on to it, well, then that's all you can expect. But if you only have a little bit, but you trust me and you know I'm going to take care of you and you give out of your resources to help and bless others, the more you do that, the more you're going to see I'm meeting your needs. Then he goes on in 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What God is saying here, too, is that your attitude is important. You don't want to give to others out of what you have and you're nasty about it, or you're angry because you have to give a part of what you have away. Or you don't want to feel pressured by anyone to feel like, well, I have to give, I'm feeling pressured. Oh, or I'll be embarrassed, or everybody else is doing it, so I have to do it. No. God says you don't want that to be your attitude at all, that you're giving grudgingly or that you're giving because you're feeling pressure. He wants you to joyfully give because, again, you know that God is going to take care of what you need and he's going to give you enough, no matter what the amount may be, to bless others. I mean, these are truths from the Word of God. And then another one to drive home that has just really blessed me. And I'm not just sharing of just scriptures with you. Being in full-time ministry without a regular salary, I can tell you I live it. I know that God is faithful. I have seen this in my life, my hubby and I. And so I'm just sharing with you so that you're not in any kind of yoke of bondage when it comes to your finances, but that you're trusting God, the one who gives us seed, and so that we can have seed for ourselves and so that we can plant that seed in others' lives. Another example, a great example, and I just pray that I live long enough to do a conference on this, is out of Leviticus chapter 25 when it talks about the year of Jubilee. When you begin to look at verse 18, you see that God instructed them that in the 7th year, the year of Jubilee, they were not to work on the ground or plant anything in the ground at all the whole year. Now you have to remember they were dependent upon their crops so that they could eat and so that they can have provision. But God told them for the whole year, the 7th year, the year of Jubilee, they were not to plant or work the ground at all to receive a crop or have provision. But he goes on and he tells them that in the 6th year, he's going to produce enough for them to not only feed them in the 6th year, but also in the 7th year when they don't do any work themselves. He's going to provide for them. But then he says, when you start to work again in the eighth year and start planning, I'm going to make sure you have enough in the eighth year because your crops are just going to be planted and you're not going to have an abundance. But then also in the ninth year, while you're even waiting for that harvest from the eighth year, I'm going to take care of you then. Do you see what's being said here? No matter what is going on, God was showing the Israelites, and he wants us to realize that no matter what we go through, no matter what season it is in our life, no matter whether we're feeling ups and downs financially, ultimately, when there appears to be little and when it appears to be in abundance, we have to acknowledge that God is our provider, and that whether it's a little or a lot, we should take care of what we have to take care of, but always, always give to others to help and take care of their needs, because then what's going to happen is God is going to make sure that we don't lack and that our needs are met. Now listen to these passages. If you want to live securely in the land, beginning at verse 18 of Leviticus chapter 25, if you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees and obey my regulations. Then the land will yield large crops and you will eat your fill and live securely in it. But you might ask, what will we eat during the seventh year, since we're not allowed to plant or harvest crops that year? Be assured that I will send my blessing for you in the sixth year, so that the land will produce a crop large enough for 3 years. When you plant your fields in the eighth year, you will still be eating from the large crop of the sixth year. In fact, you will still be eating from the large crop when the new crop is harvested in the ninth year. This is our God. This is the God that is encouraging you right now through the words that I'm sharing with you. This is what he laid on my heart. Trust me. Understand that your focus should be on my sufficient seed, not on the stocks, not on what you can provide by yourself, by your self-efforts. No, understand I am your provider. I love you. I protect you. I am the one that you need to look to as the source of all good and perfect gifts. I really hope that this will inspire you. I hope you'll go back and look over these passages. I hope that you will understand, no matter where you are financially, that God wants you to walk in freedom and faith concerning your finances, and that he is there and he wants you to trust. He wants you to believe in him. And you know what, my sister? I'm praying that you will. In closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 reminds us that God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. In other words, he took the wrath and punishment we deserved upon himself, so that we might be made right with God through Christ. Please go to our website and click on the words "Receive Jesus" so that you can get a full understanding of what I just said. In the meantime, please be encouraged and smile. Jesus loves you.
Thank you for listening to Worldwide Wonderful Women. We trust you enjoyed the program. Please take a moment to leave us a good rating and review on iTunes to help us continually encourage others around the globe. We also invite you to go to twmforjesus.org. That's TWM, like in Mary, FORJESUS.org, to download your free gift and see other resources to help you live in divine power. And oh, don't forget to tell your friends. Until next time, be strong and of good courage.